Hello and a very good morning. You're listening to Market Minutes. I'm Asha Menon. Today is Friday, the 30th of June. Here are the top 10 things to know before the market opens. The market is likely to open marginally higher today as the SGX Nifty indicates a positive start for the broader index with a gain of 20 points after opening the session at 19,150 points. SGX futures touched a high of 19,170 points in early trade on June 30th. BSE Sensex hit the 16,400 mark for the first time intraday, rising 499 points to 63,915. While Nifty 50 jumped 280 points to end at a record closing high of 18,972 in the last session and formed a bullish candlestick pattern on the daily time frame. Pivot point calculator suggests that Nifty may get support at 18,891, followed by 18,856 and 18,798, whereas in the case of an upside, 19,005 can be a key resistance area for the index, followed by 19,041 and 19,098. US markets. US equity futures were little changed on Thursday evening as investors awaited the latest data on personal consumption expenditure, which is the Federal Reserve's favored inflation gauge. Futures tied to the Dow Jones Industrial Average inched lower by 26 points or 0.08%. S&P 500 futures ticked lower by 0.03%, and NASDAQ 100 futures were just above the flat line. In Thursday's regular trading, Dow jumped 270 points or 0.8% with help from major bank names. S&P 500 added close to 0.5% and the NASDAQ composite ended the day flat. European markets. European equity markets closed slightly higher Thursday as investors assessed commentary from leading central banks on the need to continue the fight against inflation. Pan-European Stock 600 ended the day 0.1% higher, with retail stocks adding 1.8%, leading gains on the back of robust earnings from H&M, while travel and leisure stocks fell 0.7%. FTSE closed 0.38% lower at 7,471 points. DAX closed 0.01% lower at 15,946 points. Asian markets. Asia-Pacific markets mostly fell on the final trading day of the first half of the year. Dow Jones Industrial Average rose, lifted by shares of large banks jumping after passing the Federal Reserve's annual stress test. A revised U.S. gross domestic product print also helped lift investor sentiment. Japanese stocks fell as investors digested Tokyo's core consumer price index, which remained at levels above the central bank's target for 13 straight months. Nike 225 fell 0.9%, and Topic slid 0.8%. In South Korea, Kospi rose 0.1%, while KOSDAQ shed 0.6%. In Australia, S&P ASX 200 fell 0.2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index is set to open lower. Reliance Capital Lenders approve Hinduja's bid of 9,661 crore rupees for company. Reliance Capital's Committee of Creditors has given its approval to the resolution plan proposed by International Holdings or IIHL for the troubled financial services company. This brings a finality to the long-drawn insolvency resolution process of the company, according to CNBC TV18. Sources familiar with the matter said that IIHL, which is an investment arm of the Hinduja Group, received an overwhelming majority of votes from the lenders, with 99.6% in favor of its resolution plan for Reliance Capital. The voting process to approve the sole resolution plan ended on Thursday. NSE BSE showed maturity in reverting Bank Nifty expiry decision, said SEBI's Madhavi Butch. Securities and Exchange Board of India's chairperson, Madhavi Puri Butch, on June 28th, indicated that the regulator may have played a role in NSE's reversal of decision on shifting its Bank Nifty expiry date to Friday. Earlier in the week, NSE relented to BSE's request to not shift the expiry of Bank Nifty contracts to Friday, which would have clashed with recently relaunched BankEx and Sensex futures and options contracts, stifling their growth. ICICI Securities to become wholly owned subsidiary of ICICI Bank. ICICI Securities on June 29th announced that the broking firm will delist and become a wholly owned subsidiary of its parent company, ICICI Bank. Public shareholders of ICICI Securities would be allotted 67 equity shares of ICICI Bank for every 100 equity shares of ICICI Securities. According to an exchange filing, the scheme is subject to receipt of requisite approvals from ICICI Bank and the company shareholders and creditors, Reserve Bank of India, National Company Law Tribunal, stock exchanges and other regulatory and statutory authorities. Oil prices. Even though there was a bigger than expected fall in US inventories, oil prices edged lower on Thursday. This lowering of prices was because of fears that interest rates could dent global economic growth and crude demand. Brent crude futures fell 38 cents or 0.5% to $73.66 a barrel by 11:27 a.m. Eastern Time. U.S. West Texas Intermediate or WTI crude futures fell 47 cents or 0.7% to $69.09 a barrel. Dollar. The dollar index traded 0.38% higher in futures at 103.29, whereas a value of $1 hovered near 82.07 rupees. Gold. Gold regained some ground on Thursday as traders took advantage of a brief dip below the key psychological $1,900 level that was driven by a volley of robust US economic readings. Spot gold ended 0.2% or $1,911.69 per ounce by 11:25 a.m. Eastern Time. US gold futures shed 0.1% to end at $1,919.80. Prices fell under $1,900 for the first time since mid-March, after the dollar index firmed 0.3%, making bullion less attractive for overseas buyers. Benchmark 10-year treasury yields rose. FII and DII. Foreign institutional investors or FIIs bought shares for 12,350 crore rupees, whereas domestic institutional investors or DIIs sold shares for 1,021 crore rupees on June 28th, according to provisional data from the National Stock Exchange. Next, in Voice of the Day, we have Krishna Sanghavi, CIO of Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund. He believes power stocks in India belong to the growth category over value. Let's hear why Sanghavi is bullish on the sector.
So how we look at power sector is today, you know, where let's look at the month of June 2023 itself. So on 9th June, you know, India recorded something like nearly 223 gigawatt of power consumption, more or less the peak capacity. Let's look at it going ahead. If we are likely to grow at that, you know, 6-7% real GDP CAGR, one can really visualize overall power sector demand going up from anywhere from, you know, 50-70% in next 5-7 years. I think that's the opportunity. You find very few countries in the world where power sector can have such a growth rate, where majority of Indian companies engage in the entire power ecosystem can have a nice, you know, growth rate which can come in. So you have at the one side of it, the power developers, which generate the power and supply. Second ecosystem is going to be the power equipment suppliers, whether it's a thermal, wind, solar, hydro, etc. Third ecosystem is going to be the power sector financiers, whether they are the nodal agencies for power or they are commercial banks who are willing to take project loans. And the fourth segment really is, you know, the entire power transmission and the power distribution value chain, where maybe one new area which can come up is, you know, smart metering solutions, where government did introduce some new reforms. So look at the macro picture. India is likely to add around 300 gigawatt of power supply in next, you know, 7-8 years as per the Government of India electricity policy document. If you split through between, you know, the commitments made as a part of the environmental friendly and renewables, we'll have approximately, you know, 250 gigawatt coming from a combination of thermal and wind, maybe something around 195-200 of solar and something around 50-60 gigawatt of wind. Talking about the remaining maybe 50 odd can come more from traditional like thermal and maybe something from hydro, etc. You're talking about such a giant size of capacity addition in the country, which will a 300 gigawatt typically will require anything from 17 to 18 lakh crores worth of project capex for creating the capacity, which in turn means around 12 to 13 lakh crores worth of ability to lend, and the remaining 5 lakh being the capital. So that's that's a value chain provides growth for everyone. Power sector lenders can grow, power developers can do reasonably well to increase their installed capacity by anything from 50 to 100% based on their appetite for growth, and the equipment suppliers, which can also have their own nice demand outlook as capacity creation requires some capex. And the last variable, which was really the distribution transmission, again same thing, more power to generate means more power to transmit, more power to distribute. And the last of all, the smart meter as an opportunity, which is actually incentivizing customers to offer a differential time of the day. It's too early in that regulation, but yeah, something has already played out there from a regulatory side. That's broad thought on power sector for Indian economy.
That's all from us today. Have a great trading day.